hearing this morning, and we want to thank all of you for being here this morning. And I think that Ms. Rittenhouse will tell you that, as you know, this is a phase two IDD hearing, which sometimes can be very emotional. So therefore, we're going to ask as much as possible that we contain our emotions. And we're going to ask, if we find that if there's too much noise, we're going to ask that you would just sit out in the lobby, because this is being recorded and sometimes it picks up items. And if you have to leave the room, you who are supporting Mr. Nelson, please leave by way of the same door you came in, and that's the north side. And if any come in from that side, they will be representing the victims, and they will come in from that side, and they will leave from that side. And as you probably know, that this board was going to consider this matter today, but this board, what its responsibility is, you all probably already know, is to make a decision whether to send a recommendation to the governor. This board will not have the final say, so the board can, may, or may not, based upon the opinion of the five of us, majority opinion, whether to make a recommendation to the governor or not. So at this time, we will begin the hearing, and I'm going to ask our illustrious, distinguished colleague, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, if she would serve as our lead at this time, hearing lead. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Nelson?
Yes, ma'am.
I know you've already done this, but could you please state your name again and your ADC number, just for the recorded?
My name is Robert Michael Nelson. My number is 285090.
Thank you so much, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is a commutation phase two hearing under imminent danger of death. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look to your right on the video screen, to my left, at the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right in the center of the bench here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. He's our board chairman. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll just conduct the hearing today on behalf of the board.
We are here to consider...
Whether to pass your application to the governor. As Dr. Wright explained, this board does not grant commutation, but we do a hearing and consider all of the factors and aspects of the case, and then we make a recommendation whether or not to pass the application to the governor, who would grant the final commutation. And we would make a recommendation, and then the governor can consider that and either grant or not grant, or he can alter our recommendation as he chooses. So Mr. Nelson is 54 years old. He is serving. There are four different cause numbers.
55 years old.
I'm sorry, sir. 55.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you're 55 years old. My math was off on that one. And he is serving, there are four different cause numbers. One of them was an aggravated DUI, and he, for that, received a 2.5-year sentence. Another is an aggravated DUI, and for that one, he received a 4.5. By the way, both of these sentences were the presumptive sentence in each case. He's also serving an escape, a second-degree escape charge, which was a 1.5-year, again, presumptive sentence. And then the fourth count would be a probation, a 10-year probation, and that was for another aggravated DUI. These crimes occurred in 2010. One of them was 2013, one in 2012, and another in 2013. And just briefly, on June 5th, 2010, Mr. Nelson was observed driving westbound on Valencia Road near South Gila Avenue. A deputy stopped him, and tried to stop him. He turned across the eastbound lanes, and the deputy had to swerve to avoid colliding with another car. Mr. Nelson drove into the yard. of a residence, and as the deputy approached, he noticed an odor of intoxicants, Mr. Nelson did not have his driver's license, and it was later determined that had been suspended. His blood alcohol content that day was 0.198. That was the June 5th offense. On June 10th, 2013, Mr. Nelson was observed driving eastbound on East Ajo Way, made a U-turn, which was a violation of posted signs. And a traffic stop was initiated, and it was a motorcycle police officer and who noted that Mr. Nelson appeared extremely intoxicated. The odor of intoxicants was evident. Mr. Nelson initially provided a false name, but his identity was determined, and his blood alcohol content that day was 0.349. There were three passengers in his vehicle that day. One of the other causes, on July 19th, 2012, Mr. Nelson was driving westbound on West Irvington near South Kinney, and a traffic stop was initiated because the vehicle only had one headlight. So he was pulled over, and the deputy that pulled him over noted a strong odor of intoxicants again. And Mr. Nelson provided a false name, performed poorly on field sobriety tests, and was placed under arrest. His blood content on that day was 0.219%. And then the fourth count was for escape, and that one, he was granted permission to leave the Pima County Adult Detention Facility for a medical test. So he left at 7:30 a.m. on July 31st and had approval to be gone from 7:30 to 4. He did not return. On August 2nd, an anonymous caller reported having seen his photo, and the deputies arrested him on approximately August 4th, it looks like. In the 3900 block of West Valencia. So those were the four crimes, and as I mentioned, the one of the aggravated DUIs resulted in a 10-year probation rather than a prison sentence. Mr. Nelson right now has a sentence end date of April 6th of 2020. For that, he would have a temporary release, which is the release he can apply for earlier, February 9th, 2020. He's been in the department since June 10th of 2013. That was his intake in the department. In this commutation request, he's requesting a 2-year and 1-month reduction in his sentence, which would result in essentially a sentence being time served. And approximately 2-year release early based on the sentence ending date. His criminal history before arriving at this juncture is extensive. Dates back to 1981. And I will just mention the crimes for which he actually received probation or jail. In 1981, he had a trespassing. 1988, burglary, received probation for that, and a theft as well, burglary and theft. In 1991, he had a failure to pay and then a driving under the influence. And for that, he was fined. In 1996, he had a false reporting for which he was fined. In 1996, he also had a solicitation for unlawful possession of a narcotic drug, specifically cocaine. And for that, he received 3 years probation. In 1997, he had a false reporting and driving on a suspended license. And for that, he received a jail and 12 months of unsupervised probation. 1997 also, he had a driving on a suspended license for which he was fined. At that same time, there was a driving under the influence, but there's no information provided on the disposition of that. In 1997, again, he had a driving under the influence and received 12 months of unsupervised probation for that. In 97, again, there's a theft, and he was fined and received 12 months of unsupervised probation. In 1999, he had false reporting and driving on a suspended license, for which he was fined. In 2000, he had false reporting, and for that he received a jail and was fined. In 2000, he had interfering with judicial proceedings, for which he received time served. In 2002, he had a false reporting instance in which he had time served. In 2004, he had another false reporting that resulted in a fine. In 2008, he had driving on a suspended license and a failure to appear, for which he received a jail. In 2009, he had a failure to appear, for which he had 1 day in jail. In 2010 is one of the instant offenses. That was in June, and we know that he received, he was convicted of that. In 2012, there's another aggravated driving under the influence, which is another of the instant offenses. In 2013, aggravated driving under the influence, one of the instant offenses, and then the escape, which is the last of the instant offenses. So Mr. Nelson has a long record of driving, I'll just say driving offenses, whether they're related to suspended license, alcohol, or false reporting. So he's a long term of that. His discipline record while incarcerated, he has, in 2016, January 21st, he has a positive or a refusal to give a UA, and that was a major. And then there's another in December 9th of 2014, a disorderly conduct, and that was a major. Mr. Nelson, do you remember what the issue was in 2016 with that positive or refusal to give a UA? Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am. I had been back and forth to the hospital, and I was placed on a catheter, and it was just impossible for me to go, and I didn't have the paperwork. And the chief medical examiner finally supplied it, and I supplied the captain with it. And that was dismissed. And the one for the disorderly conduct, I had got married in 2014, I believe it was, and the pastor said that I could kiss the bride, so I kissed the bride, and that was the disorderly conduct, ma'am.
Okay. Got it. I think I read something about that. I just didn't understand what the circumstance, but thank you for explaining. In the 2016 incidents, you were just medically unable to provide a sample.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that makes sense as well. It looks like you've completed some programming, sir. Functional literacy and managing money. Was there any other programming that you've taken?
No, I was taking that, but I had been back and forth to the hospital three times for bleeding out.
Right.
Internally, and I was found exempt, so that's why I haven't received any more training or not allowed to work.
Okay, so
anymore.
Have you participated in AA at the institution at all, or any alcohol treatment?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right, sir.
And they didn't want me in class because they said bled out again.
Because, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the last part.
In case I bled out again.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. Did you participate in AA when you were outside the prison system?
Yes, I have, ma'am.
Okay.
And it works very good.
Okay, so you had been participating in AA.
Yes.
And
for several years.
Okay, good. It looks like you you had provided a previous application for commutation, and it was dated December 10th of 2016. And I believe you initially applied that one under imminent danger of death, but it was determined at that point that you that it would just be a regular hearing instead. And that one was not passed to phase two, and that would have been, that was heard, I think, on February 9th, 2017. I believe that's correct, if Ames is correct. I'm using the Ames. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, and then I never got a letter saying that I was turned down or anything. I just got moved back to Tucson, which is good, so I could see my kids for the last remainder of the time, because the chief medical examiner gave me less than a 50% chance to last 1 year.
Okay, sir. Well, at this point, I would like to be able to speak to the medical, and we don't have any doctor available. We have no information at all in this packet. I mean, very, very limited about your medical condition. And that's pretty much the basis of your application, is that you...
Can you call the warden at Weston?
Well, we might have to do that. And,
or the deputy warden?
And have them... Because we
Cynthia.
Really know... I don't know if any of my fellow board members saw anything in there, but...
No, ma'am.
There's
just the one page.
There's really, it's just a few sentences. Oh, I think I might have given it to you, and that's why I can't find it. It had the phone
number. Or at the medical unit at Westone, Mrs. Anderson, I see the RN 7 days a week to have my vitals and everything checked.
Okay, sir. Yeah, we need to talk with a medical provider. Could we try to reach Dr. Robertson, maybe?
We can try reaching him.
They only gave us, I don't have a number for him, though.
Maybe Mr.
Who's the P.A. Sawyer?
Well, P.A. Sawyer, the first number is wrong, because that
was
the first number.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry, pardon me, ma'am. That was
and then
that
the
was
other
wrong
one,
number.
We left a message.
He's
the
message
again,
not called me. Back.
And he hasn't called back.
And
so
he was not listed as a doctor. He was listed as a mister.
And he's a physician's assistant.
Yeah,
but
we would need
a doctor.
Well, we can try Dr. Robson. Mr. Westwick, can you assist us in finding a number? I'm sorry to worry you at the last minute for Dr. Robson over at
Dave Robertson. Dr. Robertson, the chief medical... Corrections.
I also wanted to add that I have completed all my probation that I was supposed to and paid my fines early, and I finished all my classes and graduated from probation early and all that.
So you're saying you've already completed, because you have a 10-year probation. I believe it was to be done at the... after you complete your sentence. I could be wrong about that, but I'm going to see if I can find that.
I believe it was 5 years.
Okay.
We tried to contact her. Is that the Nick Slayer?
Yeah, that's who. That's who.
That's what my paperwork says. It was 5 years.
You think it's 5? Okay, I'm trying to find yours.
And it was 5 years and an 8.5-year sentence.
Sentencing document. Okay, here, this might be it. It's not easy to find, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was 5 years.
And And, sir, the probation was for the one of the aggravated DUIs, and that would have been the one in 2012, it looks like.
Yeah, that's because they aggravated it because I had no driver's license on me.
Right, right.
So they aggravated it. But I wasn't driving crazy or nothing.
Okay, so that says probation is not available. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, so we just don't waste time. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Mr. Quinones has a question, at least, and we can...
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Nelson?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted clarification on something you described with respect to your health condition. I think you said more than once you used the expression bled out. Did you say that?
Yes, sir.
When you say bled out, I often associate that with death, meaning someone completely bled out and went into shock and died. So what do you mean by bled out?
I bled out from throwing up blood. I had filled up the toilet, and yesterday I threw up, but there was no blood in it. There was specks of blood, but it was mostly my medicine.
So you have you throw up blood. Do they have to give you blood transfusions after that, sir?
Yes, I've had several blood transfusions.
Because you threw up blood?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I just need to understand that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Sure. Mr. Johnson has a question too, sir.
Sir, I was trying to look through the paperwork, and when were you first diagnosed with the problem?
With cancer?
Yes, sir.
Probably about 4 months ago, give or take.
4 months ago while you were incarcerated?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any problems before you were incarcerated?
Yes, I had when I bled out in 2013, I had a massive heart attack, and they said I should not have lived through that. And they had noticed that my liver was bad before that when I bled out and had a transfusion. I was taken to emergency, but I'm wondering how come they didn't tell me that I had cancer, because I had two appointments recently with a cancer specialist and with the stomach doctor, and I was never taken, and I was forced to miss my appointments, and in that time I could have at least been taking chemo or had a chance to, you know, find out my situation. But they tell me my liver cancer is 11 centimeters a cyst on my liver now.
So are you able to move around now, or?
Very little. I can't stand. And I can't walk very far, even with help, because my body has shriveled up. And my stomach, I have to go about every 6 or 7 days and have my parasites, or whatever it's called, drain from my stomach, because I get so much pressure that I can't breathe anymore. It pushes everything up under my rib cage. And as you can tell, I'm ready to go now, to have a drain too, because I'm short of breath and I can't breathe at night or sleep.
All right.
told they wanted to put me on hospice, but if I can have my last few days in hospice with my family, I'm the only one they have left. Their mother died of the same thing in 2015. Not as bad as mine was, though.
Or Dr.
Thank you. Forgive me for asking these questions, Mr. Nelson, but we need to just have some information because we just don't have enough here in writing. And when was the last time you was in the hospital, sir? When was the last time you were hospitalized, sir?
About 6 days ago. About
6 days ago?
Yes.
And how long were you in the hospital at that time, sir?
I was only in for a day, and prior to that, it was emergent. I was with emergency release of living my stomach, otherwise I would have died right there. And I believe it was probably 11 days before that I was in for the same thing. But before that, I was in for like 3 weeks. And then prior to that, I was in probably for another 11, 12 days.
Now, sir, based upon your recollection, I know that you're not a doctor, and neither one of us are medical doctors, but based upon your information, what did the doctor say was your medical condition? What's wrong with you medically, according to the doctors, sir?
I have cirrhosis of the liver, and I have cancer 11 centimeters tumor on my liver. And I have esophagus of errors that causes me to bleed out also in my throat. Supposed to have surgery once a month, and I've only had it done like 3 times since I've been in prison. And from my doctors, specialists out there on the street, Dr. CD, I was supposed to have them done once a month for the rest of my life.
Now, I recognize the fact, sir, that based on information that I believe that I read, that what you just stated, rather, you've been to the hospital several times, and I would assume that would be for emergency. But who's your doctor, your medical professional who worked with you on a regular basis, sir?
I'm not sure what her name is, sir.
But it was
a female, sir. I can't remember. Pardon?
I thought you said she, her, and I said, what, a doctor, a female, a lady, or a man?
That's a female.
A female, okay. Unfortunately, we don't have that female's name.
She usually doesn't come in till like 10 o'clock.
Let me just ask another question while we're waiting to get some information now. Can you eat regular food or what?
Sometimes. Sometimes I can, but I wind up throwing it out.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you cannot eat on a regular basis. Which
right.
Is short, I guess. So when you cannot eat, you fed. How do you eat when you can't eat? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Okay. I eat crackers and stuff that I can swallow and that I can keep down.
Now, if the governor were to grant you clemency, where would you live, sir?
I would live with my son, Jeremy Nelson, and my daughter-in-law, Megan Nelson, and my granddaughter, Haley Nelson.
Okay, sir. Well, I have some more questions, but I'm going to stop at this time.
Mr. Quinones has another question. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I did have one follow-up question I meant to ask when I spoke with Mr. Nelson earlier. Mr. Nelson, my other question was that you applied for a Phase 1 commutation hearing, I believe, in December of 2016. There was a hearing. At that time, it sounded like it began as an IDD and then became a regular hearing. Why did you initially apply for an imminent danger of death hearing in December of 2016?
Because I wanted to see if I could get a liver transplant from my two boys. They said they would both give me a piece of their liver to see if I could live.
And what changed that, sir?
I had to wait for 2 years before I could apply
again. I'm sorry. I know you're not feeling strong right now, but I didn't understand you completely.
I had to wait for 2 years so I could apply again. So I could apply for the imminent death again. I was told on the front page that it says you can only do it every 2 years.
Well, sir, it began an imminent danger of death, and then we understand it became a regular hearing. So what changed it from an imminent danger of death to a regular hearing?
I had done from a Red Rock prison, private prison, inmate medical parole for early release. And the warden, everybody signed off on it. But I had the guy, the one in records, he asked me to do a clemency also. So they just, I guess you guys just went with the clemency and threw out the inmate medical parole for early release. And I thought I would last, and it's got to the point where I almost dirty turned myself into hospice. But I know that if I could, I would like to be on hospice at home with my children.
If at all possible.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I'm looking at a report that's from Dr. Gelwell, MD, for board certified internal medicine at Red Rock Correctional Facility, dated November 3rd of 2016. And in the report, it says the doctor says in his medical their medical opinion. I'll just read exactly what it says. In my medical opinion, Mr. Nelson has less than 50% chance of surviving 1 year in his current condition. He was fortunate to have survived his last cardiac arrest. And so you've been over a year since the doctor stated that. And so what is the doctor saying now?
About my heart and my liver.
Yes, sir.
They're amazed why I'm still alive. That's all that they tell me.
Uh-huh.
But they know about my cardiac arrest. I'm on blood heart medication to lower my heart rate so I don't bleed out anymore. And because if I start coughing, gasping for air, That's when I bleed out because I knocked the bands off my ears.
And this is Dr. Robertson.
602-255-248.
Well, maybe we should try to call Dr. Robertson. And
Dr. Robertson?
If not available, record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Yes, Dr. Robertson. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning. This is C.T. Wright from the board, and we are at the moment holding a IDD hearing for Mr. Robert M. Nelson, and we was trying to get some information regarding his medical condition. We do not have a number at this time for his doctor. We do have a number for his for a doctor's assistance, but he has not returned our call. Therefore, we're calling you to see if you can assist us. If you get this message in the near future, please give us a call back. And we're at 602-542-5656. That's 602-542-5656. And this is regarding Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. Thank you so very much. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Thank you, Mr. Westby. Any other questions from board members? I suppose we can have family, and then we need to have a conversation with the medical person. We can't proceed without that. But if let's see, we only have two people signed in. Are there just two people that want to give testimony to? One, two. Okay. All right. Well, who would like to go first? Okay. If you'd come right up here to this microphone, then, because it's recorded, so then we'll catch everything you say, sir. Good morning, sir, and welcome.
Good morning, board.
Could you please state your name for us?
I'm Robert G. Nelson.
Okay. And what would you like the board to know, sir?
I'd like to let you know about my son. His mother and I were divorced after 8 years marriage, and we had a daughter. My son liked it. My job took me away a lot, but I was able to get a house close by the house of my children. But a few years later, I remarried, and my job again took me away. And I was gone for a long time, so I was never around for him to help him out. And through the years gone by, his mother passed away. And then for some reason, I'm unfortunate for me myself. My second wife passed away. And then here in 2006, my third wife passed away. And then, of course, my son has gotten sick. And I visit him here at the detention center. And just watching what he's going through, I mean, it hurts me pretty bad. So I moved back here, and I was living in Oregon. I made the decision to move out here to help him out, maybe spend some time with him before he passes on, because I was not around for him when he was young.
And where do you live, sir?
Pardon?
Where do you live? You live in Tucson?
I'm living in Tucson. I live about 15 minutes away from my grandson, Jeremy.
Okay. So if Mr. Nelson were released on this commutation, he would come live with you?
He could.
Okay.
We're working and repairing two of the bedrooms right now. So, but at present, he'd be staying with his grandson, with his son.
Son, okay.
And then he could come and stay with me because he asked me about that message as soon as we get that. Just myself, my cousin, because my aunt passed away too.
Okay.
So he's got the house, and I'm just in there helping him out.
So between you and your, it'd be your grandson. Then.
Yes, my grandson Jeremy.
You would have the means to be able to transport him if he had to go.
Yes.
If he was able to go in a private car instead of an ambulance.
Yes, ma'am.
You'd have the. And then, as far as hospice care, have you been in touch with hospice or some sort of care for him?
Not for him, but I've worked with hospice.
You've worked with hospice. Yeah, you have experience with them. Okay, sir. Can I see if the fellow board members have any questions for Mr. Nelson? Anything else you'd like to tell the board?
We've been praying. And I know that himself, he's told me he's repented, he's with the Lord, and there's no reason for me not to believe him. I just hope that the right decision is made.
All right. Thank you so much for coming today. We appreciate so much. Good morning. Thank you so much for state your name, please, would you?
My name is Sarah Fikes.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell the board?
I just want to say that I know my dad has made many mistakes over the years, as you read out. Since I was little, he's made a lot of mistakes. But since he's been in prison, he hasn't drank. He hasn't stopped smoking, which for me was a big deal because, growing up, my dad was an alcoholic. Both my parents were, and my mom died because of it. He's the only parent that I got. And me and my brothers have our own and would love to spend the last few months with him. My son has never seen my dad outside of Orange jumpsuit. I've had to explain who these guards are and why we have to come see Grandma here. He doesn't really understand. Even coming here today, we're going to court for Grandpa. That's not something that you really want to explain to your children about a family member. He's made a lot of mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But while he's been in there, he's been good. He's tried. He stepped up as a parent and a grandparent. And if he was out, he would have all of us to take him anywhere and to just be there with him. He's been sober for like 5 years now, out of his whole life, out of my whole life. I would do anything to just spend time with him, for my son to be able to do things with him like I did when I was little. Go to the drag racing, fix cars, you know, things like that. Those things are important. And he's my family. We visit him every single weekend, every food visit, every phone call. I spent a lot of years watching my dad from the out, and my brother has two kids now. My other brother has two kids, and that's all of us. That's our entire family. We would love to have him home. It's very sad to go through things in life as a young adult and not be able to call him when I need him. I have to wait for Saturday. Wait for him to call me. I really just hope that people see that he has really tried. He's really changed. I know none of you know him personally. I could say, regardless of the laws he broke, if it came down to it, he would give his life for something else. He's always gone out of his way to help people, even in there. I know people who know my dad and say that he's a very kind person. I just hope that he can have just one chance, even if just to be an optimist out here. You know, I don't want to just see him die. I'd rather him be home with us than in a cell around people who don't care about him. And we care about him. He does have family support to live out the rest of his life as a good person, not bring any more laws. I would not let him out of the house if I thought that he was going to be making mistakes, and I don't think that he will. He's had to be away from all of us for a very long time, and I think now he really sees that he wasted a lot of time, and I would just love to have this last little bit of time with him out here so my son could see him in a regular t-shirt, not always asking why he's wearing orange. My son like a pumpkin.
Have a question for? No? Okay, thank you so much. I know it's difficult, so thank you for coming today. All right, Dr. Wright, I really don't know what else to do. We really need some testimony from a medical person at this point. Maybe we should try calling Nick Salyer again. Maybe answer his phone. I'm just grasping at anything.
So I was going, yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, great minds then. And maybe Dr. Robertson again.
Okay, I'll try the sound of first.
Perhaps there's an operator, too, that can forward
us. What else to, yeah. I'm calling the War of Tucson as well.
Hello. You have reached the voicemail of Nick Salyer. Please leave your name and number or a text in your text, and I'll call you right back to you.
Is there a zero option?
Is not available.
Yes, sir. This is, once again, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we are holding a hearing for Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. Once again, if you get this message in the near future, please give us a call. And our number is 602-542-5656. 602-542-5656. Thank you so very much, and please have a great morning, sir. Looking forward to hearing from you. Dr. Robertson, this is C.T. Wright again from the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We called you just about 30 minutes ago. We're conducting the hearing for a Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. And we're trying to seek some information, some medical information from you or from an MD. So if you get this message in the near future, please give us a call back and call us at 602-542-5656. That's 602-542-5656. Looking forward to hearing from you, Doctor. Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.
My other suggestion would be call the warden's office at Tucson and ask to be transferred to the infirmary or to the highest ranking medical person at the Tucson complex. That's the only other ID I have.
And do you have a number for the warden's office?
What's the Tucson warden? I said before, 0024 extension. I don't know. I think that's Tucson. That's okay.
What's the main number since you have it? If that's fair.
Nelson?
Yes, ma'am.
We're calling the warden's office so we can get someone from medical.
Okay, her name's Cynthia. Or something like that. It's under clemency. She's the one that done my clemency for me.
For occupational health or inmate medical services.